Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding. And
this morning's scripture reading is from Philippians 3, 12 through 21. Pressing toward the goal. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. And today's message is titled, Pressing Forward with Hope and Peace. And here we are, post-election, and there's a lot in the air. And for some, there's relief, as we talked about earlier. And for others, there's disappointment, there's anger, and there's fear. And political seasons often divide us with heavy hearts and countless questions about our future, what holds for our country. And as followers of Jesus, we're called to respond differently than what you see out in the world. Anchored in the Word of God, not swayed by the turmoil around us. But it's easy, it's hard not to get sucked into it. And today we're going to look at Philippians 13, 12 through 21 and find guidance for pressing forward in peace, faith, and hope. And so if you have a Bible on app or you have a Bible and you want to turn to Philippians 3, chapter 12 through 21, we're going to be reading from the NLT. We're going to break that down. And to give a little backstory of what we're reading here, because I think it's important, is that Paul wrote Philippians while he was in prison. So, I mean, you just got to think about that context. And this isn't like some cushy jail in St. Louis County where you get three hots and a cot. I mean, there's no electricity. There's no water. There's, you know, it's if it's hot, it's hot. If it's cold, it's cold. And he's writing it, and he's enduring hardships, and he's waiting in an uncertain future. He doesn't know what his earthly future looks like. Despite this, his letter it radiates joy and hope for all of us. And this is the message he's trying to convey to us, that in this passage, he expresses this deep longing to know Jesus fully. And he speaks about pressing on towards a goal. It's a goal that we should all have as citizens of the kingdom, comparing his pursuit of Jesus to a runner in a finish line. And that's not uncommon because the Olympics were going on back then, their version of it. You know, if you go to Greece and some of these places today, you still see some of these old Colosseums from back in the day where they used to run these races. So he's using contextually language that people would resonate with to try to make his point that you're trying to, in a sense, run a race. So Paul emphasizes that his citizenship is in heaven. And we just got done doing reading Insurgents, Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom. Well, that's Frank's whole point from the beginning of that book to the end of it. That you are not of this world, that your life should look a whole lot different than anything else going on. It's not here on earth, and our ultimate hope lies in the earthly powers, but in Jesus, and who will return and transform everything according to God's purpose. So Paul's words are a powerful reminder of where true focus should be, I think, for all of us, not on earthly achievements or failures, but our relationship with Jesus, who calls us to heaven, you know, but here on earth as it is in heaven. And so I think that's important. But if you sit and talk to anybody, or if you're around this week, there's people that are losing their minds. And if you're sucked into the radio stations and any of this stuff, you will go crazy listening to this stuff, because it's like Chicken Little. The sky's falling, the world's going to end, we're all going to be bankrupt, and we're going to be eating chicken soup by next week. And I've been around for a long time. Some of you have been around a lot longer than I have. I've lived through all kinds of presidents. Taxes high, taxes low, inflation this, inflation that. Rams leave St. Louis, Rams come to St. Louis, whatever. But here I am, and I'm okay. And here's the good news of the day. You are too. You're already okay. So don't freak out. Trust the process. But it's easy not to do if you get sucked into what's going on social media or the news, or even in your own family. We have turbulence even amongst our kids that are politically divided. Susie got caught in that trap yesterday a little bit. And she bailed out pretty fast, but she got caught in it. I wasn't there, but she was telling me about it on the way here, so it was pretty funny. And everybody knows it. Everybody, I've been doing this for so long, people know, don't ask me anything about nothing. It's a waste of your time, really. I'm just going to point to Jesus every time, and if that isn't your cup of tea, well, then you're not going to like my answer, you know. And so that's what happens. But I really want to highlight 3 points, and then we're going to celebrate communion today. And the first point is that we press on, that we keep on going, no matter who's in the White House, no matter who's the governor, no matter who's the mayor, we press on, and we press on with purpose. And I think that's the point. It's not that we're just going to go grind it out now and see what gas prices do, what inflation do, what the housing market does, what's the job market going to do, what's my 401k going to do, all self-centered things. What's this going to do for me? And we live in a very self-centered culture, and by default, we're self-centered. You know, when we wake up in the morning, if we're honest, the radio station, if there was one in your head, defaults to WIIFM. You know, what's in it for me? And I mean, it almost goes there without even thinking about it. And if you crank that up, man, next thing you know, you're just consumed with self, and you're a mess, you know? Or you can just change the channel through prayer and meditation and try to shift your mind onto a kingdom-centered message, and that's what we're called to do. In a mighty way here. See, this thing's going to work for me this morning. There we go. So this is what you see if you turn on the news today, or you go to the grocery store and you stand in line. This is the kind of stuff you see. And if you look at it, or you can just Googling this stuff, I mean, the sky is calling. Either this is the comeback kid, this guy just won the Super Bowl, or this is Satan himself getting ready to move back into on Pennsylvania Street. But it's all over the place. And this is what's going on out there. And a lot of people, whether they know it or not, this is what they turn their will and life over to. This is their God. And it seriously is. I mean, if you just inventory their behavior, everything turns to this. And I feel for them, and I feel so grateful I'm not stuck in that. Does it matter that we vote and have justice and shoot for... Yeah, of course it does. But that's not where my allegiance is. That's not where I need to camp out at. And so Paul starts by admitting he hasn't admit perfection in his writing today. I'm not perfect. You know, he makes that clear. He's determined to keep moving forward, focusing solely on the prize that Jesus has promised him. And post-election, it's easy to get stuck in disappointment and anger and fear. It's easy to do it. And Paul's word reminds us to keep pressing on, right? And he uses a lot of illustrations. But here's that scripture, and let's go right here. That one. Yeah. The pressing forward's the goal, you know, and here it is. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, and he's talking about his perfection, that I've already achieved perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection of which Christ is first possesses me. So it's the perfect love of Christ that I'm after, not my own perfection at all. And there should be a picture of, let's go, let's get past that. Marathon. Yeah, there. And so there's a marathon. This is what he's going to push us to, that the runner can't focus on the distance that he's got to cover. It's too far ahead. It's too far down the road, right? But instead, he needs to be focusing on the next step. As I sit on the finish line, of course. But it's, what am I going to do next? My buddy Mark, who I was with in Alabama over the weekend, is a guy who went to federal prison for robbing a bank, believe it or not. And he's been out for a long time, and sometimes I'll drag him with me to go do testimonies and do different workshops and stuff. And I brought him with me over the weekend, a quick run to Alabama. But he created the first marathon, official marathon, in any prison in the United States, in Leavenworth, of all places. And so when he came out of prison, he was 48 years old. And he was still, he wanted to, so on his 48th birthday, I called him to say, "What are you doing?" And I could hear him. I go, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm standing in Hardy's." I go, "Hardy's for what?" He goes, "Well, I'm running today." He goes, "I'm running a mile for every age of my birthday." So he ran 48 miles that day. Just straight, 48 miles. Even when he went in, he was getting a cheeseburger to eat. But all he's worried about is the cheeseburger, and then he's going right back to run. He wasn't trying to accomplish the time, but he ran 48 miles that day. Think about that. And I told him, I said, "Well, if you ever see me running, shoot whatever's chasing me." But I'm definitely not running 48 miles. There's nothing about that it gets me excited. I don't know about you, but I'm not excited about running 48 miles. But some people are. He was. And not for long, though, because I called him on his 49th birthday. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm sitting on the couch eating ice cream." So that changed a little bit. But I can tell you, he wasn't focused on a time. The goal was, I'm going to finish the race, and I'm going to finish the race well. And that's what we're being asked to do in our time. And so Max Licata, one of my favorite theologians on the planet, still alive, a Texas guy, but I love this quote: "We fix our eyes on God, the things of earth become strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace," end quote. So when I'm fixed on God and a God-centered life and God-centered principles in my life, I just don't get lost in all the stuff. But the minute I take my eyes off the light, then you get off the path and fear starts coming in, and you can get lost real quick. And so the truth is, we need to focus to be on Christ, whose love and power guides us in all events, good, bad, and ugly. And like Paul, God calls us to press on with purpose, not because of who's in charge politically, but because of who's in charge sovereignly, eternally. You know, right? That's what I need to get excited about. And our calling is on Christ doesn't waver with politics. It's easy to say, but it should be that way. And if it's not, you need to take an honest look at that. I mean, if you really feel let down, or you're just really brokenhearted, the sky is falling, you need to take, I would press you to challenge it, you know, to where your allegiance is and what you're truly worshiping. You know, and if you need willingness to shift and put your eyes on God, I would encourage you to do it. Our calling in Christ doesn't waver with politics. It encourages us to continue moving forward with purpose, anchored in Jesus and Jesus alone, trying to live a Jesus-centered life. That's what we're called to do. And our next point is live as citizens of heaven, which is in Philippians 3:20. And Paul reminds us that our true citizenship is in heaven, but not somewhere far away, but heaven on earth. And that's that zapsiology stuff that we hear about a lot. And when we get overly focused on earthly kingdoms, we risk losing sight of the eternal kingdom. And we're truly a part of that right here, right now. And so I hope you don't lose sight of that you are helping usher in this new kingdom, this new heaven on earth, even though sometimes we don't feel like we're making any progress. Sometimes we might even feel like we're regressing a little bit, that we're taking steps backwards, but we are pressing forward. And if we get lost, we're going to be in trouble big time. So elections come, elections go, but God's kingdom remains forever. And we never want to lose sight of that. You can imagine a foreign diplomat living in a different country. I don't know if you know anybody that's ever had to go do this. Or they got stationed. I got a guy that I mentor lives in Dubai right now. But he's lived in Saudi Arabia. He's lived in all these different places. He's a construction guy. And he goes over and sets up all these different things. He's an engineer, but he's in Dubai right now, so we talk most Saturdays. But he's in a foreign soil. Now, that's very commercialized there in a Western influence. But if you're a diplomat and you're in another country, you have to respect what's going on in that country. You have to respect their customs, how they do things, everything. You have to respect their leaders. Your primary loyalty is to their homeland, not to yours. And it's really important to understand that. But as believers, we are citizens of the heavens and ambassadors, if you would, diplomats of God's kingdoms. So we're representing Christ's love, grace, and truth wherever we go. So our job is to create an adequate demonstration of that no matter where I'm at. Because that's where my allegiance at. My allegiance isn't to anything else but that. And it's easy to say that, harder to do, but that's really what we're supposed to be doing. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite theologians, said this: if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world, end quote. Boom. I mean, I love that quote. So if you're trying to chase worldly vices to fill this void in your life, to solve the spiritual separation problem in your life, and you've never been able to pull it off after all these years, C.S. Lewis is saying, pretty good bet you weren't made for this world. You're made to live in the world of the Spirit, not in this worldly system. So God made us for His kingdom, a place where joy and love and justice and peace materialize if we work for Him. And that's where our allegiance should be. Our hope isn't bound in earthly systems, which is temporarily flawed. It's not permanently flawed if you believe in a second coming and the restoration of heaven on earth. But right now, it's definitely a broken system. And instead, we look for Jesus as our King to strive to help guide us as citizens in the world of the kingdom. Bring His light into a world overshadowed by darkness, for sure. No question about it. And number three, hold on to the hope of transformation. And that's another thing Paul lists up here in verse 21. He reminds us that our ultimate hope is in Jesus. And I don't know if you found that this week, but that's where I'm at. Because people ask the question, aren't you bothered by all this stuff? And I said, I'm really not. You know, I got my hope's not in any of that stuff. And for some people, that's just a head scratcher. Like, you don't care about America or you're unpatriotic. It's like, no, I don't get lost in all this stuff. You know, I just don't. I mean, your average empire, if you do world history, is 250 years old. The average empire throughout the world history. Guess how old America is? It's almost 250 years old. So this space as you know it, historically speaking, factually speaking, will not be here forever the way that you see it right now. But God's kingdom will be. And that's where my allegiance and my alliance is. I do my best to preserve the livelihood. I love being free. I love to go deer hunting. I love to be able to do all the things that we get to do in this space. But at the end of the day, I'm not taking any of that stuff with me. You know, you don't see a coffin full of stock certificates and trophies and deeds and titles. You don't see any of that stuff. You're not taking any of this stuff with you. You know, and so you got to think about that. You know, what am I really living for? And a lot of people, I can promise you, are living for stuff that's just not going to make a difference in how their life turns out. And that's what Paul's warning us of today. Don't get lost in all this. There's a lot of people out there that are full of evil, and they're full of the world, and they're going to be sadly disappointed when they stand in front of God, ultimately, have that day of judgment. And so these promises, it isn't just for a comforting thought. It's a powerful truth that should shape how we live. It shouldn't just give us hope, but it should shape how I think, what I do, who I hang around, what I read, what I watch, everything. And while the world around us changes, as it often is uncertain, Jesus' promises are Jesus' promises. They are firm. They are 100%. And we can count on them. Their transformation is unwavering. Anybody that applies a Jesus-centered model to their life experiences transformation, period. And I hang out with some of the most broken people on the planet, and I watch it happen all the time. I watch the impossible become possible all the time. And it's just the same set of principles. And either I can accept them into my life and engage them, or I can reject them and continue to live for my own self-will. And I can live a my will be done life versus a thy will be done life. And I can promise you it's a much better way to live a thy will be done life. It's the greatest place in the world. You know, you look at a sculptor, and this is a picture of Rob. You guys didn't know Rob was a marble sculptor, but this is Rob Church, everybody. I'm teasing. But it looks like Rob. I thought about it when I grabbed it. But he carefully chips away at a block of marble. I mean, when he gets this block, it's just a solid block of marble, right? Envisioning, he's already got this vision of a masterpiece he's going to create before he ever starts. But it just didn't happen overnight, right? It's a process. And God is the ultimate artist shaping and transforming you and me and one day at a time all of creation. And the way that God sees the world, the way God imagines the world, it will be that. And He doesn't leave us here with empty promises. He leaves us with promises that He's going to restore you, me, us, the church, and everything else. But it's going to be on God's time, not on your time. And in the process, you're a part of this process. You're supposed to just chop wood, carry water, you know, in a principled, Jesus-centered way. N.T. Wright, one of my favorite theologians of all time, says this, and I love it. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project. Not to statuate people away from the earth to heaven, but to colonize the earth with the life of heaven. End quote. So that's a huge shift. I mean, there's lots of churches right now. The first half of that quote is what they're about. I know you're messed up, sir. I know you're messed up, ma'am. You're a sinner. You need Jesus. But one day, you'll be in heaven. And that's it. That's the gospel message. And they forget about that you're created in the image of God. And they forget about the restoration piece on the back end of that. And you get a two-part gospel instead of a four-part gospel. And that is missing all over the place. And so we are going to be restored. My life has been restored. You know, from a very broken person to living a life beyond my wildest dreams. And it's the same for you. But you have to embrace all of it. And that's what we're looking at, restoration on earth. Not this is all going away someday and then we'll all be in heaven. No, this is it. So that should change how you live when you really see it that way. That you are small. I mean, it's like going down and grabbing a handful of sand on the beach. I mean, you're just a little speck of what's going on. You're a little minute thing. And if you get lost in that, you feel like it's irrelevant. Or this little body of Christ that we have right here is irrelevant in the big picture. It couldn't be further from the truth. You know, it's kind of like that kid who's walking down the beach one day. And it's at that time of the season where the starfish are getting washed up on the beach. And they're going to die by the thousands. And this little kid's heart's broke for him. So he's down there picking him up, winging him back into the ocean. And a guy comes jogging by and says, "What are you doing, kid?" He goes, "I'm trying to save these starfish." He goes, "Oh, kid, it's not going to make a difference." And he holds one up and he looks at him and goes, "I bet it makes a difference to this one." And he flings it back out into the ocean, right? And that's the truth. That's the way you got to think about it. Because it seems like a lost cause. You know, you guys mentioned earlier about dealing in the world of addiction and recovery and alcoholism and people that are incarcerated. A very small percentage of those people will ever get their life together. 90% of people that have alcoholism and addiction will never, ever experience recovery at any level. At any level. And out of the 10% that do, less than 10% of that percent will ever achieve any kind of recovery in their life. That's the beast of addiction and alcoholism. So when you go into those spaces, like I go to Sauna Lake every week, on average 50 people there, we'll do the math. Times it by 12, that's 600. Times it by 4.5 years I've been going there, that's almost 3,000 people that I've watched go through one space. Some of them are repeats, I get all that. But how many people get out and live a transformed, Jesus-centered life? Very few. So if you looked at the big numbers, you'd be like, well, why do I even waste my time doing that? But then all of a sudden, Taylor shows up. And that makes it worth everything, you know? And the Tims show up and on down the line. And that's what makes it all worth it. Because you don't know who that is. Your job is just to create a space where they can experience what we're talking about today. And it's their God say-so, as Monica lifted up earlier in her little devotional message, that we have say-so. We can choose to reject it. We can choose to accept it. Most will say no thanks, but some will say yes. And when they step in, the same model of living, the same principle way of life will transform their life. No matter how broken they are. No matter how broken they are. I mean, the impossible becomes possible when we live out that life. And it's here for all of us. So in uncertain times, we cling to hope. Our world is a work in progress. Amen. Old Alan Jackson sang that song. It's a work in progress. And while things seem bleak now, or they may seem bleak to you, or you may be hitting there thinking this is the best thing since sliced bread. I don't know where you're at. And I really don't care where you're at politically. But I do care where you're at with Jesus and how you're living a Jesus-centered life. That I really care about. But if you're lost in that worldly stuff, man, you got to hang on to hope. Our world's a work in progress. And again, while things may seem bleak, Jesus promises a future where he will make all things new. All things new. And you will be fully restored. And that is a kingdom promise I think we could hang our hat on. So, in conclusion, in a world that feels divided and fearful, we anchor and we hold on to what's true. Amen? And our hope is that Jesus, our purpose is in him, our citizenship is in the kingdom. And while earthly leaders will come and go, Jesus reigns forever, eternally. All right? We don't elect him in or elect him out. And Philippians 3 calls us to press forward, to live as citizens of heaven, and to hold on to the hope of transformation. Hang on to it. So let's be people of peace, a light in a divided world. You can be a huge beacon of light in these places. And let's show others that our love doesn't waver based on the circumstances around us, but it is firmly rooted in the unchanging love of Christ. Amen? And that's what we want to focus on. So let's pray, and then we're going to get ready to go to communion. Lord Jesus, in a world by earthly changes, that's shaken by earthly changes, you remain our unshakable foundation. We come to you with our fears, our frustrations, and our concerns for the future. Help us press on, grounded in your love, focused on your purpose you've given us. Remember that our true citizenship is in your kingdom, not bound to this earth. Let our lives reflect your peace and your grace and your hope in everything we say, do, and believe. And give us the courage to bring your light into the places of darkness, to love even when it's hard, and to trust in your promises of transformation. As we walk forward, we hold on to your hope, and you're making all things new. We thank you, Jesus, for being our King, our guide, and our everlasting hope. And it's in your mighty name we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God. An application of God's word and message.